Praise God. Everybody got handouts? Hallelujah. I think the word today is called righteousness and truth will prevail. Righteousness and truth will prevail. Amen? Praise God. And we're taking our theme today and our truths and our righteousness from Psalm 24. And if you have a Bible, if you want to turn to Psalm 24, I know it's actually written on your sheets as well, but that's just to help you to follow through as we go along. Make notes on them. You can put them in your study notes if you want, later for later. Who knows where we may go. The Psalm of David. And this is a revelation that David receives from the Lord. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Glory to God. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Glory to God. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. And you and I need to catch hold of this. That he is king. He's the ruler of all creation. He rules heaven and earth. And governments. And principalities and powers. Hallelujah. God is in control, let me tell you. Praise God. You may think there are disasters and turmoil and problems all around. And maybe there are, but don't worry. The Bible tells us to fear not. The angels came at the birth of Jesus, and one of the first things they said to the shepherds, fear not. Fear not, for I have good tidings of great joy. Unto you this day a Saviour is born, a Deliverer, the one who will set you free, who one who will bring you out of your deliverance, who will bring you out of your bondage, who will break the power of the enemy over your life. And his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hallelujah. It is God with us right now. He's not against you, he is for you. Praise his name. And David had grasped hold of this even before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we need to listen and heed to what the angels said some 2,000 years ago. Yes. What did they say?
Fear not.
I can't hear you.
Fear not.
Hallelujah. So why are we afraid? The devil's a liar.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. Hallelujah. And you've got to get that into your heart and life, that Jesus said it, and when Jesus said it, he means it, and he will do it.
Amen.
Praise God. The earth is the Lord's. It does not belong to the devil. Praise the Lord. It belongs to God. Hallelujah. Jesus returned the rightful inheritance back to God. Earth, the land, earth is offered to us as soil, the land. And you know, out of the earth, God made man. He made Adam. Made man. So what belongs to the Lord? I belong to the Lord. God made me. I belong to him. Hallelujah. I belong to the Lord. Do you belong to the Lord? Everything that he made belongs to him. And he will do whatever he chooses to do with it. Wow. But remember this, before you all start shaking in your boots and wonder what God is going to do to you. The Bible says that God is an awesome God. But it also says God is love. God is love. And he loves what he created. Praise his name. So the earth often refers to Adam, his descendants, which is you and I. Praise the Lord. Psalm 24 says, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, for he has founded the world upon the sea. Do you know what that means? No, I didn't. So a few days ago, when I caught part of a radio broadcast, and there were some clever people on this radio broadcast. Are you all understanding me? I am not going too quickly for you, am I? Or am I? Everything okay? Good. Just want to be sure. Anne's not here to interpret, so hallelujah. If I start going too fast, you have to wave. So I was listening to a radio broadcast, and there were some very intelligent people, and they were talking about that part of Scotland, part of the coastline of Scotland, has actually risen. You've heard that. Wonderful. So I'm not on my own. So I went looking on the internet this morning because I wanted a little bit of more information. Couldn't find anything about Scotland. But I found something else out that also part of North America has also risen. But at the same time, on that North American side, some of it has gone down. There is this tilting motion. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, this next statement, but somebody did tell me that during this last earthquake that caused this massive tsunami, that the actual shape of the earth slightly changed. Went, instead of being more like a ball, it went, somebody stuck the foot on it and squashed it a little bit. And it has, you know, things are a little bit just out of line. But they also tell me that from ancient maps, that the magnetic north has moved. Do you know why? Because the balance and the controller of the earth is no longer in charge. God gave the control of the earth to Adam. God said to Adam, subdue it. Keep it in order. Keep it in balance. Rule and reign over it. Be in charge of it. Take responsibility for it. And everything will be fine. Amen. The earth is this fine tuned blue spinning ball. It's the only blue spinning ball that sustains life. Oh, they keep sending these things out, costing billions and billions, and then we drop them down onto a planet somewhere and it disappears in a crater and is never heard of again. Then some of them work and they think they found something. We'll go no further with those. We've not plumbed the depth of what's happening. Now, back to this subject of the Scottish Islands, part of Scotland, rising somewhat. They went on to say in this radio broadcast that the land sits on the seabed. And I'm thinking, but I thought it was like, you know, all fastened and part of it. But it sits on this spongy mixture of whatever, they had fancy words for it, I don't know what it is. It sits on this spongy mixture on the seabed. It is sort of fastened, but it also moves. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, this. And what they're saying is that, and I pulled this little article off the internet called Rising Land. And I'll just read this. During the last ice age, the enormous weight of miles thick glacier ice compressed the Earth's crust and the mantle, oh, it's called the mantle, this gooey, semi-soft material flowing under the crust. Over the centuries, as the ice has melted away, the crust and the mantle have slowly rebounded, like a sponge regaining its shape after it has been squashed beneath a dictionary. Put a big heavy book on a sponge and you'll squash it down. Take the weight off the sponge and it begins to recover, doesn't it? The crust and the mantle have been slowly rebounding like a sponge that has been squashed beneath a dictionary. Consequently, the northernmost parts of North America have risen, while the southern parts have sunk. The continent is tilting like a great seesaw at the southern list. Thus, at least in part, the rise in sea level south of New York does not mean the rising water, but it means a sinking land. I was amazed at that. But you see, I'd heard this on the radio about this, the foundations that, and we were sitting on this former foundation, and it suddenly started something off in my mind, and I thought, there's something about that in the Word. And I started to hunt for it, and here it is. And He hath founded it upon the seas. In verse 2 of chapter 20 of Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein, the world and all that dwell therein, and He hath founded the world upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And I thought, you know, God doesn't half know some stuff, does He? He's a fabulous scientist, you know, absolutely amazing. We're just catching up with what God's already done. We're just beginning to get to know what God has done. If you want any answers, they're in this little book here. Glory to God. So God set everything in order. Hallelujah. And we can rejoice in that. So the worlds and the lands are founded on this spongy seabed, this that's going on. And God has got it all in order. God has everything in control. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? This is the person who will. This is what? a person with clean hands, a person with a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul onto a wicked way. God is looking to his church, but his church can hold up their hands and say, we have clean hands. We are righteous. Not self-righteous, but we are righteous as accordance to, in obedience to the word of God. That we are true. And that what we say we keep, and we stand by the truth of the word of God, and we don't deny what the word of God says. It is so important that we acknowledge the truth and the power of this word. Because in acknowledging the truth and the power of this word, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord over all situations and every circumstance. And no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is happening around you, God will always be in control, and God will begin to cause great things to happen. He will cause you to succeed. God has a plan for each and every one of you. God has a plan that you will be a success. God has a plan that you will walk in the power of his strength and his might. You'll walk in victory. And the enemy will not destroy you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. He's not going to destroy us.
Yeah.
You know, when you start to say this, the enemy,
the enemy
will not destroy me.
The
enemy.
Will not destroy me.
For God is for me.
For God is for me.
Praise God. Now you're getting it, you see. You've got to speak these things out. You have to declare what this word says. Because when you declare what this word says, you say, I am agreeing with the Almighty, with the Creator of the universe. I am agreeing with him right now. Now, I'm not saying you always believe what you say.
Yeah.
Come on. But what you are beginning to do, you are beginning to work on this soul man.
Yeah.
This foolish man.
Yeah.
Who's probably standing on sand. And God says, I want you to stand on the rock. What is the rock? The rock is the truth of this word. And God says, I want you to stand on the truth. You see, when you stand on sand, you are standing on your own understanding. And when you get onto your own understanding, it could be quicksand. And before long, when you start to reason and work things out in your mind, you're up to your neck in quicksand. And then you begin to panic and think, God, help me, God. You know, and it should have been on the rock a long time ago.
Amen.
You've seen that beer advert, haven't you? I can't really make it all out, me. You know, the guy's in the desert and he sees this tree. And as he walked towards it, what is it, a pile of hats or something all around in one area? And there's this bag hanging, and there is the beer. And he walks towards it, and the next thing you know, he's and down he goes. There goes another one. They've got their eyes on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And people today have got their eyes on their wallet.
Yeah.
Have got their eyes on their job.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if I lose my job? Guess what? That means just around the corner there has to be a miracle.
Amen.
Yeah, we pray jobs and better jobs.
Yeah.
Wage increases and bonuses.
Yeah.
Sales and commissions.
Yeah.
Debt cancellation.
Yeah.
Finding money. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Bills paid off. Debts demolished. Royalties received. And then I can give more to the work of the gospel. God is my provider.
Yeah.
Jehovah Jireh, which means God is provider. And if God can keep over 2 million plus people with cattle in a wilderness for 40 years with no supermarkets, no national health, no social security, feed them and water them and cause their clothes not to wear out, and the word of God says in Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So what happened yesterday can happen today and can happen tomorrow, because God is not changing what he's been doing. He's still the same. He's hoping and waiting for you and me to change. He wants you and I to be like him. You see, that's how he created Adam in the beginning. He was like God. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me, it says he was created in his image. Guess what? He was like him. And I'm going to say this. He was a God. Ooh, some people leave you. Who do you think you are? The word says that we were made a little higher than the angels. Psalm chapter. Is it Psalm 8:5 or 5:8? Let's have a quick look at that. It's not in the notes. Psalm 8 and verse 5. We'll just read from verse 4. You could read this two ways, you know. You could read this in the negative. What is man that thou art mindful of him? It's the way you read it. Isn't it? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Now the word says, it reads like this. This is the psalmist David. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? He's excited, you see. He's had a visitation from God. Now, this is a mistranslation in your King James, if you're using King James, okay? He says, verse 5 says, for thou hast made him, man, a little lower than the angels. No, that is not what it says in the Hebrew. Put a line through it and change it. It says in the Hebrew, thou hast made him a little lower than God.
Amen.
Now you see, you can prove this. Because the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to who? Well, let's quote scripture. The heirs of salvation. What are you today? You are an heir of salvation because you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have become joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So the angels have been made a little lower than you, and they are sent to minister to you on behalf of God, to encourage you, to guard you, to protect you, and to be at your beck and command. They are ministering, they are serving spirits sent to minister to you. Do you ever talk to your angel and give him a job? They're standing around waiting for you to ask them and tell them to do something. They are serving spirits. Oh God, give us spiritual eyes to see what is around us. Lord, open our eyes to see the realms of the supernatural. That's what we need. And when I say the realm of the supernatural, I don't mean the realms of the demonic, I mean the realms of God's glory. You see, God is greater than the devil.
Yeah.
But we're always focusing on this devil, who, and the word says, where is he? Under our feet. Now then, it is dangerous to walk around like this. Because at some stage, you are going to walk into something that is severely heavier and harder and stronger than you, and which is totally immovable. And if you're so busy looking at the devil, you know, you're going to end up on the floor. Who needs a crash out? But we look up, because our help comes from God. Amen. He's our deliverer. He's the one who's victorious. He's the one who's fighting on our behalf. And he has beaten the devil. And so we just walk on the devil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm king. I'm born to be a king. A priest. I'm born for great things. Hallelujah. That's not pride. Because that's what the word says. That we are born for great things. And you have to start to focus on that. Because you see, if you are a conqueror of conquerors, because we're in Christ Jesus, because he is more than a conqueror, so he's a conqueror of conquerors. Oh, hallelujah. Alexander the Great was the greatest conquering man that ever set foot on the earth. There was a program on TV just the other night. And they were reenacting a battle. And they were fighting against Alexander the Great. And they had four Marines, I think they were. They were from the armed forces. And they were fairly high-ranking officers, you know, lieutenants, captains. And they were planning their battle strategy to defeat Alexander the Great. Guess what? They lost. I mean, you know, these guys have been taught in battle. They've studied history. They've studied battle warfare. And they were able to see the battle from an overview. And they still lost. Wow. Shows you what a tremendous tactician this Alexander the Great was, and there's never been any greater. Praise, yeah, it is amazing. But you see, if he was the greatest conqueror, we have one greater than him, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so Jesus has conquered all conquerors.
Yeah.
And that means we're seated with him in heavenly places. So I'm a conqueror of conquerors, mate. Glory to God. I am a conqueror of conquerors, and so are you. And you have to remind yourself, I'm a conqueror, me. I'm not going to be beaten.
Amen.
Because the Word of God says so. Now you may find yourself in a difficult position. We can read about people in the Word of God. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, Daniel, Samson. They all ended up in some forms of difficult positions. But guess what? They came out in victory.
Yeah.
God never, ever let them down. Joseph, imprisoned. Well, first of all, he was going to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thrown in a pit.
Yeah.
Then he was imprisoned. And then he became first ruler,
yeah.
Second ruler to Pharaoh.
Wow.
In all the kingdom of Egypt.
Wow.
He saved thousands and millions of lives through a dream.
Yeah.
The prophecy of the dream.
Yeah.
What is God calling you to do? Where it starts is first coming into the Word of God, walking in righteousness, walking in truth, and as you walk in that truth, it will bring you deliverance and freedom, blessing, authority, and power and joy in the Holy Ghost. How do I know that? Because you see, in the word says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not going to put you in bondage. The truth will always set you free. You may not like the pathway that you have to walk into freedom, but it is a pathway that will bring you into freedom. But I don't want to go that way, Andrew. I know a shortcut. Yes, there's probably a quagmire down that way. God wants you to walk His way, to be pure in heart. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, it's in your notes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you want to see God, you have to be pure in heart. Because love and the love and the truth of our of God, the creator of the universe, will destroy everything that is not pure, true and holy. It will be destroyed. So Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Praise His name. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 says, nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. God knows who you are. God knows that you belong to Him. Do you know why? Because He's put His seal upon you. There is a mark on you that God has placed on you, that the devil and no man can take off. Praise God. I'm marked. I'm sealed by God. Praise Him. There'll be no mistake on that day. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Keep away from it. Don't get involved in it. Avoid it. Goes on to say, but in a great house there are there not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Think about that for a moment. God is preparing you for a good work. Wow. God is preparing you as an individual for a good work. That's God's intention for you. That there will be something dynamic that comes out of your life. God intends that you will live a life with a dynamic of the power of the Holy Spirit in it. The power of Himself moving and breathing through you. Praise His name. It goes on to say, flee those youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. We've got to call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Not doing it for our own selfish reasons and selfish ideas. It's not a soulish way of life that God wants us to live. It's not a self-centered way that God wants us to live. It's not a way of life that God wants us to just be satisfying our own appetites. It's not a life that He wants us where we're just filling our own minds with intellect of God and yet not knowing the power. There are many people who say, Oh, I know God. I've read the Bible. You've read the Bible, but you don't know the author. And there's a difference. But when you know the author of the book, life changes. And God causes a dynamic to come into your life that you've never known before. Do you know, suddenly God starts speaking to you. God starts talking to you. He might even wake you in the night. If you want Him to. If you want to listen to Him, He will speak with you. If you ask Him questions, guess what? He'll answer you. People say, oh, you're off your head. Praise God, I'm off my head. Because you know, when my mind gets in the way, I start thinking the wrong things. I start going in the wrong direction. But when my spirit starts listening to God, I can turn around and go the right way. Listening to God. How do we listen to God? There are many ways of listening to God. This last week I was sent an email. And on this email was a list of solicitors for our friends, our asylum seeking brothers and sisters. And there were probably about 10. It is a minefield, isn't it? It's so difficult at the moment. I looked at this list and I simply said, Lord, which is the one? Which is the one? You know, you can spend hours on a phone wasting your time and money. I said, Lord, which is the one? Wednesday night, it was last Sunday, Anne and I looked at the list and I said to her, Anne, I said, that's the one. The guy in Wakefield, the company in Wakefield, that solicitor, that's the one. So she said to me, well, okay, but we'll ring this one, this one, this one and this one. I said, that's the one. So I did. I thought, well, I'm going to know whether I heard God or not. You know, I'm going to test. It's good to try oneself. Good to test whether you're hearing God or not. So I decided to test myself. So I rang these others. As well as. I think I rang 5 in total out of the 10 that I got. Because when I got to the point where I got 4 no's and 1 yes, and yes was the one that God had told me, I knew it was a waste of time ringing anybody else. I just said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you know. Even in the smallest things. Well, to me it was small, but to those who were seeking asylum, it's major. And the good news was that this last week, Thursday, Friday, two of them went up to Wakefield. Guy's looking at one of the cases already, seen his folder. And some more information's going to go up, and then we're praying that the other one's going to be looked at. So, praise God. You see, God is at work. All you got to do is listen. Just listen. People will say, oh, you're nuts. Yeah, I am. I like nuts. I enjoy nuts. I like cashew nuts. I like almond nuts. I like Brazil nuts, I like hazelnuts, I like spiritual nuts for Jesus. Amen. Not the ones who walk about this far off the ground and have never touched the earth. I mean people of a reality who can touch the earth, but also at the same time touch God in heaven and make contact and bring something down onto the earth. Hallelujah. But if you're walking about 6 inches off the ground, and that means you may touch God, but you'll never touch the earth and bring the blessing down. I've seen a few of them. Got rid of one or two of them as well, praise God. No good. It's not good. We have to be able to reach out, touch God, but touch the earth. And bring life, bring wholeness, bring truth, bring the mind of God into circumstances and situations that will set us free. And the only way we can do it is by walking in righteousness and truth. Now you might say, well, I've sinned and I've made some big mistakes. That's okay, because there is a way. It's called confess your sins to God. And the word says He is faithful and He is just to forgive you of some of your sins. All your sins, the Word of God says. So He's going to forgive you all. But the first thing you have to do is to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. You don't bow it to me or to anybody else. You bow it to Jesus. And when you bow it to Jesus, we will know. Do you know why? Because we shall see a change in your countenance. We shall see a change in your walk. We shall know. Because suddenly we have kindred spirits that say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is one who God has tied us together with. It's not about colour. It's not about creed. It's not about nationalities. You need a passport that says, that's stamped on it, I'm a heavenite. I'm heaven bound. I belong to Jesus. I'm no longer English. I'm no longer half Polish. I belong to the city of Zion. Oh, glory to God. I'm a Zion person, me. I'm going to climb that hill and live on that mountain. Glory to God. With my Lord and Saviour. That's where I'm living. You know, there's an old song. I'm living on a mountain underneath a cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain where the shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. For I am living in Beulah land. Oh, glory to God, I'm living there. You know, and I want every one of you living there. You know, that's the place where we can touch heaven. We can touch the glory.
Amen.
Praise God. Making you laugh?
Yeah, I'm just picturing you with a straw
and a cane. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Yeah, I mean. It is exciting. You see, God gives you an imagination. Ooh, you got to watch your imagination. Let me tell you this. It's the only way God can get any ideas into you. It's through your imagination. If you can't imagine things, you'll never be a dreamer. Mind you, I can't remember my dreams. There's very few dreams that I remember. But I can imagine things. I have a wild imagination. Could get me into trouble sometimes. So you have to keep it honed by the Spirit. By the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's having a passion. It's having an emotion. You know, some Christians are so dead in the water, you know, they don't have any emotion. I'm praising God. Well, tell your face for a start. Yeah, you've seen him, haven't you? Yeah, you know, I'm praising God. Where, how are you praising God? Deep down in my heart. Where's your heart? I don't know. Down in my boot somewhere. I think I'm stood on it. Now, come on. You know, praise gets, you know, things start to move when you begin to praise, you know. You know, I don't know whether we've got many people who follow football, but you know, they stand at a football match, you know, or watch the rugby. Did you see them playing rugby Saturday? We got beat. The Welsh beat us by, what was it, one? Can't believe it. God. And there they were. When the Welsh beat us, They were all stood there going, wonderful, wonderful. We beat the English. I think that's what, weren't that what they were doing? Yeah, there they were.
We beat them.
No, they weren't. Yes, yes, you know, they were jumping up and down, and it's like, this is over a leather bag of wind that's gone into a funny shape. And you can't kick it properly, it goes all over the place. And they're cheering. They kicked it up between two posts over a bar. And they went ballistic. Presence of God walks into a church. And everybody goes, yeah, weren't it good? Did you feel it? I think I did. They were nice, weren't it? I wonder when God will do that again. I think God thinks, forget it. You know, I'll go somewhere where people get excited about me. You know? See, God is an exciting God. God's a God of variety. Had a red on him, and Robin goes,
whoa.
And you see the Robin in the garden, he's walking around like this. Just look what God did to me. Hey, just look at this. You know, he's running around, flapping his wings, and he runs into all the other birds and goes, whoa. And they all go, whoa. You all right, John? You donkey? Oh, you all right, good. I mean, you know, they say about the robin that, you know, he's a bully, drives all the birds out of the garden and what have you. He's got this territory, he's going around, you know. Look what God's done. Get out of the way. Might stretch you. And God made him like that. What did he make you like? I'm just a humble sinner saved by grace. So humble. I've only just made it into the kingdom. We've only just made it into the kingdom, dear Lord. None of us did anything to get into the kingdom, only bow the knee. He's done it all, so we can walk behind him saying, look what Jesus did for me. Look what Jesus did for me. Look what Jesus did for me. He set me free. He made me to rule and reign. You know, he didn't quite give me a red breast, thank God, but you know what I mean. He made me rule and reign. That's not in notes, is it? Oh, praise God. Where are we? Have we turned the tape over yet? When did you do that? Praise the Lord. Oh, good, we're only just 3/4 of an hour. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we've got to have a passion.
Amen.
A passion for the Word and a passion for Jesus. That when people see us, they say, wow, what is it you've got? What have you been on? You know, when the disciples came out, on the day of Pentecost, they went, whoa, what have you been on, guys, eh? Eh, you been on the old? No, we've been drinking at the fountain that never runs dry. And you know, when you've drunk all you can drink, you still don't end up with a hangover. Glory to God. You can remember everything that God has done. You can remember everything that's happened. You can remember everything you've been involved in. In the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Where did we get to? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, not vanity. God's not looking at you to be vain. He wants you just to have a pure heart. Not wanting to have sworn in any way deceitfully. God does not want you and I to be deceitful. We know He's the truth. We should speak the truth. And by speaking the truth, we honour Him. You see, my life and your life should be honouring to God. And so as we speak the truth, we honour Him. And when we honour Him, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, the creators of the universe, in honouring them, guess what? They honour you. And when God honours you, it does not matter what anybody else can think, say, or even attempt to do, because God has a plan and a purpose for you. But you see, God is looking for truth and honour in the very inward parts of our lives. The Holy Spirit is searching out for envy, deceit, jealousy, malice, backbiting, because all those feed and bring us to a place of emptiness. You know, there's part of Scripture that says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Don't end up with some form of lying speech. Don't end up lying to somebody. Speak the truth. Speak it in love. Be honest. To glorify God. God wants our lives to be worthy, to be full of good things. Our conduct needs to be righteous and full of worth, not worthlessness, but full of His blessing and life in our lives. Don't be deceitful in any way. Don't treat people and speak falsely with Him. Now that's something we say in the church, and you that move in the gifts of God in ministering to different people, we've said you must always speak the truth. If you don't, you dishonour the Lord. And when you speak the truth, you honour the Lord and you bring people great blessing. I just reminded the other day by somebody, you brought a word, Catherine, to somebody, and it was absolutely spot on. You've never seen that person before. You've never met them. And then the Lord gave you a word for them. And it was like, how did she know that? Because He whom is God of all whispers to His children. Mysteries. Secrets of the heart. Fears in the heart. And God whispers them and says, tell them, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. And God will also expose. And so we need to be a people who are upright, honourable, because we are representing the God, our God, the Creator, in this world today. We are His representation. We're not waiting for Jesus to come. Jesus is already here. He's inside us. So now we have to be His representation. We have to speak that word of truth. And we will see God moving in great power. Verse 5 of Psalm 24 says, and he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness, justice, righteousness. We need righteousness in government. We need righteousness in our laws and our lawmakers. We need righteousness in our rulers. But you know, we need righteousness in us also. And as we believe and watch God and pray for our nation and pray for the rulers of our nation, pray for those locally also, that God's righteousness will begin to affect them and begin to change them. God will bring salvation. What does salvation mean? It's not just stick your hand up and get saved. See, salvation's for today also. Salvation is deliverance from sickness and disease, from poverty, from eternal death. And salvation brings us to a place of walking in rightness with God, having an entrance into His presence every day, bringing us victory every day. Salvation sets us free from all the bondages. Salvation is a complete work, and it brings us to a freedom in God, an exciting freedom in God. And so we can praise Him. Verse 6 says, "This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in." Have you seen people who are in bondage?
Yeah.
They never look at you. They walk round and they sort of give a glance and then they look away. They're in bondage. But Jesus can set them free.
Amen.
Can't He?
Yeah.
And you know, you can tell a believer who loves the Lord, who's really getting on fire, who's going forward, lift up your heads. Where's God? It's not underneath your feet. The devil's underneath your feet, so you don't need to be looking down there. Where's God? He's highly exalted. He's in His heaven. He's filling the whole earth. We can look up. From whence cometh our help, the Word of God says. So listen, if you don't start looking up, you don't know your help's coming. You might miss it. Yeah, but you don't know the problems I've got. No, that's true. And I probably can't help you with your problems. But I know somebody who can. And His name is Jesus. And the Word of God says, cast all your care, all your problems, all your worries. Well, it doesn't. It says cast, but the word means to actually hurl them. You know, a fisherman. You might think of a fisherman casting the. Hey, I'm not. You know, trying to pull them back in. I'm not throwing bait out to try and bring my problems back once I've lobbed them in the water. Or you know, no. It says, cast, fling them as far away from you.
Amen.
And walk the other way and start praising God and said, my shackles are gone, yeah, my spirit is free. Oh, praise the Lord, He's lifted me, my sins are forgiven, and now I am free. Oh, praise the Lord, my shackles are gone, my spirit is free. That's what it's about. Now, all my burdens, they're all gone. We've got to realize that our burdens are gone. You know, only asses carry burdens. They have four legs, a big head, and a tail. And they walk like this. You know? He always says that. I'm not a donkey, I'm not an ass. I'm not a four-legged fool. God made us to walk upright. You know why? You see, when you've got a donkey like this, he can't look up. He can only do that. He's got a load on his back. When you get rid of your load, you can look up. And from whence cometh your help? My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise His name. My help comes from the Lord. So lift up your heads. O ye gates, be lifted up, and ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Hallelujah. What's the door? Hallelujah. This is a city. This is the temple. Temple's got gates. It's the head. Okay, we've lifted up our head. Right. Yeah, we've lifted up our head. Where's the gates? Where's the gate? Okay, I'll give you... Yeah, you're getting there. I'll give you a hint. Open up those pearly gates. Open up those pearly gates. Open up those pearly gates. Come, you see. It's this. These are the gates. These are the gates of praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. With my mouth, I will praise the Lord.
Yeah.
With my whole being, will I praise God. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, it is, out of your belly shall flow rivers. And where does the river flow? It's got to flow out your mouth. It's the only outlet. You see, it's a picture of what is told in the book. Ezekiel tells us that there's a river flowing underneath from the throne room out the city gates. There's a river!
Amen.
Jesus said, can bitter and sweet water flow from the same source? Talking about you. Talking about me. Come on. So out of here, the gates of praise. The gates of praise. David knew what he was talking about. He wrote so many songs. He knew how to praise his Lord. He knew where his gate was. He knew how to catch God's attention. If you want God's attention, you start singing praises. You get God's attention right away. He's like, whoa, who's that? Oh, it's one of mine. I wonder what I can bless them with. What I can bless them with. Do you know, as you begin to open those gates and those doors and begin to sing unto Him, guess what? The King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? Jesus. The Lord, strong, mighty in battle. He appears on the scene. He appears on the scene. Paul and Silas in prison, the deepest prison, in stocks, locked up. And they begin to sing. They've been beaten close to death. They were singing, they got that song, My Shackles. Paul says, come on, we'll sing. Come on, Silas, we'll sing together. My shackles are gone. Can you imagine, Silas? I'm like, don't feel like it. I can't move. I'm strapped down here. He says, look, we're going to sing. My shackles are gone. And they begin to sing. My shackles are gone. And all the prisoners are saying, laughing at them. But you're still chained up. Can you imagine? This is what would have been going off in the prison. You're still chained up just like everybody else. You're fools. Yes, we are. We're fools for Christ. And they're still singing, My shackles are gone. And everybody's jeering, oh, shut up, we're trying to get some sleep. They all start rattling the chains. And all of a sudden, there's this enormous earthquake. And all the shackles break off. Prison doors burst open. And it all goes quiet. Apart from Paul and Silas, and they're still singing, My shackles are gone, my spirit is free. And the jailer's about pulling his sword, thinking, I can't stand that singing. I mean, no, he didn't say, I can't stand that. They've all escaped. He's about to kill himself. And Paul says, don't do it. Everybody's here. And that jailer and his family came to the Lord. Why did he come to the Lord? Because they began to sing the praises of their God. They began, those pearly gates began to praise. And Jesus turned upon the scene and said, let's change situations. Stamped his foot and said, let's do it. Hallelujah. Crushed the devil yet again underneath his feet. Said, let's change it. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 24 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of my adversary and my vengeance, and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin." That's your dross, the rubbish that's in your life. He's going to cause you to be pure.
Amen.
He's going to make you pure gold. He's going to get rid of the rubbish that's in your life. You're not going to be mixed with anything else. "And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counsellors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness." Hallelujah. Are you a convert? You're a convert by righteousness to the city of Zion. Hallelujah. You see, it's all in the book. Just don't tie it together at times, do we? We're converts of righteousness. Who is the King of glory?
Amen.
The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory might come in." No, it says he shall come in. There's no doubt about it. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Lord of hosts. And David said it more than once. And he made sure that in this he got the message home. He is the King of glory. Let that be on your lips today. Who is the King of glory? It is Jesus, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Well, I hope you've been blessed and encouraged. Amen.